Today in Russia, Vladimir Putin gave a fiery speech in Moscow to mark the anniversary of the end of World War II. Fighter jets flew overhead and heavy vehicles carried ballistic missiles through Red Square. Just days ago, Putin began his fifth term as president, and he's making good on his promise to press ahead with his war in Ukraine. Yesterday, Russia launched a barrage of attacks on Ukrainian power plants. Isabel Krishudian joins us now from Kyiv. She is Ukrainian bureau chief with our editorial partners at The Washington Post. Isabel, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, I described how Russia is celebrating this end of World War II, the anniversary. How's the day resonating in Ukraine?
I think this holiday, if you want to call it that, has taken, you know, a lot kind of less significance in Ukraine. It's kind of seen as this Soviet, very Russian symbol, and Russians make it into a big parade and show of their military might. I think here people kind of, you know, view it as a, in some way, with some disgust because it's so associated with the Soviet Union and Soviet history, and that's something that Ukraine's really trying to turn away from.
Yeah, speaking of military might, there was this large barrage of missile attacks this week on Ukrainian energy infrastructure. Now, Russia, I mean, we've seen this throughout the course of the war, attacking Ukrainian energy infrastructure. It has escalated in recent months. I'm just curious at this point, what's the extent of the damage in Ukraine of its power grid?
It's quite bad. The good news for Ukrainians is the weather is warm now. This isn't happening in the winter. The bad news is that the damage is quite significant, where you have a lot of, you know, especially the private power providers that provide power to most of the country, you know, are mostly damaged at this stage. Kyiv itself, you know, I don't feel it living here. My power is working. My life hasn't been disturbed, but that's not the same for large swaths of the country. And you know, every day you're just kind of waiting for the next attack that will knock it out for more significant stretches. So there is a lot of concern and how quickly you can repair these things and at what point the damage is so bad that it can't be repaired.
At the same time, Ukraine has been aggressively launching strikes of its own on Russian oil refineries inside Russia and in Russian-controlled territory. And I understand it's knocked out a pretty good deal of Russia's ability to turn oil into gasoline. What kind of impact is Ukraine having on Russia's ability to fight the war?
Yeah, well, I heard today that Gazprom, I think, has its, you know, lowest earnings ever. You know, we've seen reporting that the U.S. asked Ukraine not to target these facilities out of fear of escalation. But for Ukraine, things are already escalated. You know, it's hard for us to measure the tangible impact, but it certainly does have an effect. This is the backbone of Russia's economy. And the more you can hit that, the more you affect their ability to create more weapons, to produce more, you know, missiles, and even to just get supplies to their forces. So I think it's something Ukraine's going to continue to do, and they consider fully in their right to continue doing.
Isabel, what is happening lately on the front lines in eastern Ukraine? And I'm curious if this new tranche of U.S. military aid, ammunition, weapons, et cetera, has it gotten there, and is it helping?
I don't think we've seen the effect of the new tranche of weapons yet. The bigger problem at this stage seems to be manpower. And that's not a quick fix. It's something that they've put off for a very long time because in society, it's unpopular to force people to go fight. However, when you talk to commanders at the front, they've always had, you know, a shortage of artillery or other weapons. But now the biggest issue is a shortage of people.
Ukraine now recruiting prisoners to fight on the front lines in much the same way that Russia has done, controversially?
Yes, that is true. I mean, they're not recruiting all prisoners. People who have been convicted of murder or rape, I think, are not being able to go fight. But yeah, it just goes to show how much a manpower issue Ukraine has right now. And, you know, even if you start mobilizing a bunch of people right this second, you still have to train those people. And in the meantime, the front is collapsing. You're seeing Russia make pretty significant gains in eastern Ukraine. And also, you know, there's talk of a looming offensive again in northern Ukraine, in the Kharkiv and Sumy regions. So this is, I think, the bigger issue now. It's not the weapons. It's not when the weapons will come. It's you still need people to very basically man positions and also be able to rotate people out. People have been fighting for over 2 years and have basically had zero rest. The average age of Ukraine soldiers are over 40. Wow. So all of these factors come into play where it's physical fatigue, mental fatigue, and also just, you know, not having enough.
Isabel Krishudian is Ukraine bureau chief for our partners at the Washington Post, speaking with us from Kyiv today. Isabel, thank you very much.
Thank you.